Welcome to Dog Travel Experts. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-hosts, Paris and John, who created DogTipper.com and are travel experts with great ideas and advice about getting out of the house with your dogs, whether it's around the block or around the world. Call us with questions about taking your dog in the car, going to a hotel or someone else's house, or just for a walk. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Waruva Pet Food, Precious Cat Litter, The Honest Kitchen, Nordic Naturals Omega-3 Fish Oil, Halo Purely for Pets, Vaxacheck, Platinum Performance, Feelaway for Cats and Adaptil for Dogs, Vectra and Vectra 3D. And Whole Life Pet will send you a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. We want you to know we've invited this show's sponsors because they're companies we believe in and use ourselves. Please show your appreciation for their support by becoming a customer yourself. There's also a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. Tonight is Four-Legged Life with Arden Moore at 7 p.m. East, 4 West. Go to RadioPetLady.com to see the whole schedule. Dog Travel Experts is a production of 8 Paws LLC and LT Media Group LLC, which are solely responsible for its content. Our number again is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We would love to hear from you. Paris, it is so fabulous to be back on with the ability for our friends and folks to call us. Isn't it swell?
It is. I'm so excited. Hope we have a lot of callers tonight with their dog travel questions and also to tell us about some recent trips they've taken with their dogs.
That's right. And when we were live once before and able to take your calls, and then we had technical difficulties. There is no show after ours tonight. Our schedule has changed. So our schedule keeps changing. We add shows. We move shows around. So go to RadioPetLady.com, and you'll get up on all the latest and greatest. But we had a wonderful email early on. I never had a chance to share it with you or with the audience. Jessica, who's one of our – actually was a listener and a caller on Dog Talk and had a picture of herself, which I really should put it up on the Dog Travel Experts page, of their dog Charlie on Capitol Hill. She said one thing you shouldn't do is take your dog to Washington on one of those leashes that you're always telling people not to because it gets wrapped around everyone's ankle.
That's right.
And then she somehow lost hold of it, so there was little Charlie running around on Capitol Hill. So definitely, yeah, if you've had any travel with your dogs that didn't turn out just the way you'd hoped, call us. Paris is great with solutions. And if you're planning on a trip, she's also great on tips of things you can do ahead of time. You've just come back from an incredible trip. Talk about the beach in Texas. I'm such a geographical idiot. I didn't know there was a beach in Texas.
It's a huge, huge coastline. And so we were in the area called the Coastal Bend, which is near Corpus Christi. That's the largest city in the Coastal Bend area. It's where Texas makes that curve as it heads south.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very nice beach. We were staying in Port Aransas, which is a small village. It's more of a tourist town right on Mustang Island. So it's very small. People are running around in golf carts and things.
Oh, fun.
You know, it's just really cute. We were staying just two blocks from the beach with Irie and Tiki, and they had a really fun time. This was their first time to see the ocean. So
no,
it was very
kidding.
Exciting. Yes.
So did they exciting. Do that thing that – and I'll just give you guys the numbers again, 888-627-6008. Please feel free to call. Did they try to drink the salt water? I remember the first time that I took my dogs to the beach – they started to lap up the salt water, and you sort of think it's funny because it's like, guys, it's not going to quench your thirst. It's going to make you thirstier. But it also gives you instant diarrhea. Did you have to keep an eye out for that?
We really had to keep an eye out. You know, when we first got them into the sea, I think they were so excited that they were just the waves and everything. I thought, oh, this is not going to be a problem. They're not going to try to drink the seawater. Well, after that initial excitement died down and we start walking in the shallow water, Irie decides, oh, let's stop and have a drink. We're surrounded by water, you know.
Right.
So
logical.
Really keep an eye on her. And, you know, fortunately, she really knows the leave it command really well. That's she's good. That command. So, and we had a lot of fresh water with us. It was pretty hot. It was almost 90 degrees. And, you know, you can become dehydrated so quickly at the beach, you know, with the heat
and also
wind and everything.
The sand is hot on their feet. Were you concerned about that, or did you only walk in the shallow water where the sand was damp?
We were walking in the shallow water a lot, and then along the beach area where the sand is still damp. There's pretty good wet in there, so it's it's pretty wet, packed sand. And Mustang Island is a state park. It's very nice. They have picnic areas in the shade, so you have your own little picnic stand where you can get your things out of the sand, which is so nice.
Really?
You know, when you're
That's extremely civilized. One of the
very
problems
nice.
With
and that way the dogs have a chance to get in the shade.
And one of the problems with beaches, or, you know, a picnic on the beach, is always the issue of, oh, my God, you set your food down. And before you know, it's covered in sand. Yipes. And then, of course, people worry about ants. But I'm more worried about the covered with sand. So it's very, very dog friendly. Were there other people there with dogs, even in 90 degrees?
Oh, yes. I mean, it was very dog friendly. And then, you know, it's not as hot as it's going to be up here. So it was a good time to be there. We had a cold front come in one day, and it got quite a bit cooler. And being midweek, we had timed our trip to be weeks. It wouldn't be too crowded because that beach can get quite crowded in the summer. So as we get closer to summer. So we went, we were there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it was not bad at all. And then we went to Padre Island. So
I'm going to just Paris. I'm just going to interrupt you because there's a problem with your connection. So I'm going to let Doug deal with that while I say hi to Becky, and he's going to reconnect with you so that we can hear you better. Becky, you're welcome to say hi on Dog Travel Experts. I'm extremely excited to meet you.
Hi, Tracy. I'm excited to talk to you, too.
Well, let me explain to everybody who Becky is. She has a very cool blog. She's one of the special friends of Cat Chat and Dog Talk. We also have special friends of Dog Travel Experts, and who knows, you may wind up being a very special friend of Dog Travel Experts, too. Absolutely love your blog. Tell people what it's called so that after you chat, people can go check out your very fun, cool blog and your darling dog, Vern. What's the name of your blog?
BeckyPovich.blogspot.com.
That's pretty straightforward, P-O-V-I-C-H. Paris, are you back with us, sweetie?
I am back.
I'm terrific.
I'm back, and I missed Becky coming on, and I missed hearing about Vern.
Well, we haven't heard about Vern yet. All she did was explain.
Oh, good,
I told
good.
Her. I just said that she was a special friend of Cat Chat and Dog Talk, but I invited her to say hi to us, too, so we would get to know her better because she's blogging, and she's including more dog blogging about her cool dog, Vern. Do you go anywhere with Vern? Do you do any travel with Vern, or is Vern a stay-at-home guy, Becky?
Well, we got Vern a couple of years ago at a shelter, and he's an older guy. So we haven't done a whole lot of traveling with him. He does like to ride in the car and stick his nose out, though, like dogs do. And he loves mostly just to go on walks on his leash. He's just so happy to do that. And so he's gotten me out and gotten me doing exercise.
And you also wear a T-shirt that says, take the dog out, let the dog in. It's this funny T-shirt, Paris, that she's got on her blog.
That's funny.
It's what she spends most of her time doing.
Well,
I
certainly
got that
know how that
years
is.
Ago.
And you've done some writing about him, right?
Yes. I'm finishing up my memoir, which is full of different little snippets of events in my life over the years. And Vern is included in that, plus two of my other pets over the years who are now gone. One was Rocky, and the other was Tiger, but Tiger was a girl, so we always called her Tiger Gal. That's the name of her chapter, Tiger Gal. And Rocky loses by a TKO. And that chapter is about Rocky having a fight with a big plant.
Well, we're all really looking forward to reading it. It's so great when someone has a blog and's got their whole life in there, and there's dogs as part of it. You know, that's a really terrific thing. Becky, we're so glad you called in. We hope you'll listen.
We hope you'll
get your readers to listen to all the shows on the network, but we really love having special friends because we like to connect with everybody out there that cares about their pets and includes them in their life and in their memoirs and in their walks around the block, which is a form of travel. So have a great evening and thank you for the call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Look forward to hearing from you again. Take care. So, Paris, let's see how your connection is before we let you go off with more explanation of being on the beach, because I'm really interested in how you did that. Are you feeling like you got a good connection?
I think so. How does it sound on your end? It sounds okay to me.
Sounds okay to me. I don't know how it sounds to the people that are out there. I think it's a little bit wonky. So what I'm going to do is let Doug go to a break and see if he can reconnect you again. All right. And then because we don't want to irritate everybody out there and have them go, what are they talking about? We'll be right back. We're going to go to an early break. When we get back, we're going to have Paris all fixed up. We'll be right back. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil as stress relievers to help solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment and comfort new puppies and kittens experiencing the fear and loneliness of leaving their litters.
That's cool.
Feel Away diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household. Look for Feel Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where there's a discount to buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Nordic Naturals has been providing people around the world with high-quality omega-3 oils for decades, with third-party testing for purity and freshness. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils, and daily supplementation helps maintain optimal health for all members of the family. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. Vaxicheck wants to know, are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog?
We can't,
but
we
is your vet worried whether your
show.
Dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? Okay. Vaxicheck is a new blood titer test done right in your veterinarian's office while you wait. It shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases, distemper, parvovirus, and hepatitis, and needs revaccination or not. Vaxicheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use Vaxicheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. Vaxicheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And Vaxicheck for cats is coming soon. Give us a call if you have any questions or comments. You want to take your dogs on the beach and it's 90 degrees. I always thought you shouldn't do that, but Paris is going to tell us how it's okay to do it. 888-627-6008. Paris, I would worry about overheating, hyperthermia, dehydration that you mentioned. Obviously, you're a very cautious and careful dog mom. So how did you protect against that?
Well, we went to the beach early in the morning. Of course, they're acclimated to the heat because it is warm here. You know, it's been warm for several weeks already. We've been in the 80s and 90s, you know. So they're used to the warmer weather. We didn't overdo it. We went early, and then we had a shade for them to get back in the shade. So that they didn't
overheat. There you go. So you had like a little tent?
We had a picnic cover. We had a picnic table with a roof over it. The state park has little shelters set up all along the beach.
So they have their own like roof on them?
Yes, each one has a little roof. So it's like a little sort of like a carport for a picnic table.
Oh my god.
So each one has a little roof.
I've never heard of that. I mean, maybe I'm just a dope and everybody else out there is going, "Well, of course. I've never seen anything like that anywhere in the world. I've never heard of it. It's a brilliant idea." They have all these little sort of huts set up for people to like claim a little hut area, if you will, and it's theirs for as long as they're on the beach.
Right. If you get there early in the morning, then you can put your things in the picnic table, and that's your little, you know, home base there for the day.
Wow.
So that way the dogs can get into the shade, you know, and you can get into the shade and keep your things out of the sand for the time you're there. So that's very nice. That was at Mustang Island State Park. Now, some of the other areas we visited did not have picnic covers, like Padre Island National Seashore. And it's very different because people are allowed to dive onto the beach. And, you know, that's kind of disconcerting when you have dogs.
Yes.
You know, I find that it's difficult with your dogs because, you know, the sound of the surf and the wind makes it tough to hear those cars. And the cars make no noise driving on the sand, hardly. So it's a little disconcerting. You know, we didn't stay there as long. It's a beautiful beach, and it goes on miles and miles and miles. If you have a four-wheel drive, you can drive all the way nearly down to South Padre Island. Only the first 6 miles they really recommend if you don't have four-wheel drive.
Well, you know, Paris, this is something that I just don't understand. I used to live in East Hampton, and there were hours of the day, or actually it was times of the year. In the summer, dogs were only allowed on the beach before 9 a.m. and after 6 p.m., and driving on the beach was forbidden during the summer months. And it was inevitable when I'd be on the beach, and I used to walk the dogs there until they really got arthritis and it became hard for them. It was insane because the people that felt the need, I don't understand why it should even be allowed. Why do you need to drive your darn four-wheel drive or any kind of vehicle on the beach? Go drive it somewhere else and walk on the beach. It can't be good for ecology. They did nearly run over people's things. People act like idiots and cowboys. They've also never driven in the sand. And at least two cars that I knew of got stuck in the wetter, thicker, heavier sand and started to get carried out to sea. And the local, the guy that I can't remember what you call it, you know, the vehicle picker upper, if you're like broken down by the side
the
of the road.
Tow
truck, thank you. Couldn't think of the word for it. There was a special tow truck for these idiots, and they charged them huge extra amounts of money. And the tow truck had to be equipped in a certain way so it could go out there and retrieve these cars going out to sea. I mean, why? What is that about? It's kind of like some idiot, kind of like a tailgating mentality. Like, we aren't going to go to the football game. We're going to stay in the parking lot and get incredibly rip-roaring drunk and have a big old party. Well, I guess that's okay for football games. I don't get that either. Why don't you just go watch the football game? But what's up with driving on the beach?
I think some people go way down Padre Island, and people who are stargazers like to go way down the island so that they're away from any light pollution. So that's kind of one draw. If you're a camper, you know, and you've brought your tent and everything, and you go down there and you do stargazing, if you're really into birding, of shore birds, then you really want to get away from everybody. But I think most people don't go on down the beach that far. You can camp, of course, on the beach with your tent, but coyotes and rattlesnakes are an issue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you really have to keep an eye on the dogs. You know, of course, the dogs should be leashed. It is required that the dogs be on leash. Now, I think if you go far, far down Padre Island, you can let them off leash. Of course, there is nobody down there to know differently, but
right.
I think, you know, in the main areas, the park areas, they should always be on leash, even in the water. And that was kind of an interesting dilemma because, you know, and we've talked about this before, how I am really into fixed leashes, you know.
Yes.
I use a 4-foot fixed leash. I don't even use a 6-foot leash.
Sure.
But this time I thought, all right, I'm going to get out a retractable. And I'm not in favor of retractables, but I had a good use of the retractable. So I'm really happy to have found a good use for the retractable. I use them for training on recall. And have had good luck with that. I like him for training on recall, but it was also nice to use them in the sea. I mean, Irie really likes to get out a little ways and play in the waves. Tiki wants to stay closer to me, so that way I was able to put Irie onto the retractable, and she could get out a little bit further from me, you know, and then come back in. And I tried using a training leash, you know, a longer leash, and it was sinking, so it really worked well with the retractable. So I'm glad to be able to say something positive about the retractable leash.
Is that 15 feet? Is that the maximum that a retractable goes?
Some are 20, and I think for the smaller dogs, you can get a little bit longer. Of course, Irie's 70 pounds, so it was not a real long leash.
Were you concerned that she might get into a situation where she couldn't turn around when you wanted to tug on the leash and bring her back in, and that somehow I would think, oh, my God, what if she got stuck, maybe not in a riptide, but in a kind of larger wave? I don't know what the waves are like there, and you had to let go of it because she couldn't come back in at that time, and then you've got this weight around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
But that was
I think
never
that
an
would
issue?
Be a concern, no, because we were not out very far. We never got in over even to my knees. So we were in very shallow water. And the way the Gulf is, at this portion and most of the Gulf, and I've been on most of the Texas Gulf Shore, it's shallow for a very, very, very long way.
Really?
And you do have a rip, yes. And you'll see, you know, fishermen way out, you know, standing in the water.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and you know, there can be a problem with rip tides if you know, in some areas, certain times, depending on the weather and things. But we were in very shallow water. But I think, you know, if you were further from the shore, that would be a concern. But this was nice to let Irie be, you know, 10 feet, 12 feet from me, and then Tiki close to me.
So well, what's interesting is that the beaches that I've been on in California and then in the Hamptons, it's like serious surfing kind of waves. And you've got 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 steps before you'd be up to your waist. Mm-hmm. So this sounds much better for dogs because you're at just their kind of chest height of a medium to large dog for a long time. And you can really play and paddle in that water with no danger.
That's right. It's, you know, it's, you could go a long, long way since it is so shallow and the wave action was very gentle. You know, although they were spending a lot of their time running back and forth, going to the edge of the, where the water was meeting the shore and then coming back, instead of wanting to go deeper, they were going back to the shore and then back where I was, back and forth.
Were they playing with the waves? Were they biting at them when they came in?
Mm-hmm. And the little shorebirds were there. So Tiki was very interested in shorebirds. So I had to keep her on a short leash because she was kind of fascinated with the little shorebirds and the little tiny crabs that were there. She was very interested in those little crabs. But we had a really good time. There can be a problem with Portuguese man of war, the jellyfish there. And I only saw one. So that was good. They were interested in it, but I saw it in time because, you know, they're purple and they look very interesting. So
and they're highly poisonous and stinging and I mean really bad. So I mean that is that an issue all the time or only certain times of year?
It's worse certain times of the year. So I think every time I've been to the beach I've seen at least one, but there have been times I've seen many there. So we had it at a good time. And
so so these are all the kinds of things that people really need to think about ahead of time. I mean it's not just we'll take the dogs to the beach. It's you have to think of how to protect them against possible jeopardy, right?
That's
I mean, rattlesnakes and coyotes, is that only at night?
The coyotes would only be at night. I don't think normally you would have an issue during the day. I know we have coyotes where we live, and I shouldn't say never. I rarely see them during the day. But it's more at nighttime they come out and are active. But the rattlesnakes would be a problem during the day as well. And they typically stay back in the dunes more.
Right.
So it's to keep the dogs out of the dunes anyway because they are so ecologically sensitive.
Yes.
You know, with plants and everything there. And that's where, you know, there are bird nests in there and all that kinds of things. So we just stayed out of the dunes.
But are there signs that say stay off the dunes?
There are signs, and there are also signs saying watch out for snakes. So,
oh, my goodness. So
yeah,
to some people, that could be pretty scary. Are the snakes camouflaged? Like if the sand is a kind of beigey, sandy color, is that the same color as the snakes, or do they really stand out? Is it clear as a bell that there's a snake up ahead?
They are Western Diamondback rattlesnakes primarily, I think, which is the same kind we have here. And we're about 3 to 4 hours inland from the coast.
They're dark, right?
They're dark. They're not really, really dark like they are in some parts of the country. They're kind of sandy, dirt colored. So they would stand out, you know, but you have the sea plants, so they could be hidden in the sea plants.
Well, I tell you, I'm sort of excited by what you saw and did, but the whole thing is like, wow, there's a lot of danger, but I guess that's one of the fun parts of travel is it gets your adrenaline up, it gets your blood pressure and your heart rate up a little bit, and it's exciting, and you see things through the dog's eyes, and you also have to keep your eyes peeled. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, more on dog travel. And also, we have to be sure we talk about the Pet Expo coming up this weekend. We will be right back. Our number is 888-627-6008 if you have any questions about taking your dogs on the beach or anywhere else. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com.
Okay.
Because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy inside and out. This show is also supported by Platinum Performance Canine Wellness Formula, which is a comprehensive nutritional supplement for dogs.
Right.
It provides a special blend of more than 55 nutrients to improve the health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells mean a healthy dog.
Have we put her
in a scientific study of learning ability, the dogs who took Platinum Performance Supplement had better memory of new skills they learned compared to the control group of dogs that did not get Platinum Performance. To give your dog that mental edge, especially as she ages, go to RadioPetLady.com to get free samples and learn more. And there's a platinum feline formula for cats, too.
Yeah.
Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. We are back. You're listening to Dog Travel Experts with the dog travel expert, Paris of Dog Tipper and Cat Tipper, I might add. Paris, you're a bold woman. There must be so much. I mean, I think anyone's bold that travels with two small children, too. I mean, you're not necessarily Shackleton, right? But still, you've got these two dogs, and you're concerned that they have a wonderful time. Does your desire for them to have a great time kind of take away from your focus on yourself and having a good time, or do you kind of live vicariously through them?
You know, I think they really add to the enjoyment of the trip.
Yes.
And I think it is a different type of trip when we travel with our dogs. You know, for example, on this trip, we primarily had takeout food, you know, because we were going
right.
That, you know, your dining is really different with the dogs. Now, there are several pet-friendly restaurants in Port Aransas, and our plan was to eat on their patios a couple of days. And then we had this cold front come in, and it was just cold
funny.
And drizzly. Yeah, by the second half of the trip, we had cold and drizzle. So, you know, we had to change those plans. And, you know, that's a little bit different. If it had just been the two of us, we would have gone to a nice sit-down restaurant, eaten inside.
Yes.
You know, so that's a little bit different. But I think it's just a different type of trip because we stayed at a small little cottage. We had a standalone cottage. We had our own kitchen, all, you know, kitchen facilities there.
Nice.
So that was very nice. That's probably not something we would have done if it had just been the two of us. But with the dogs, it made it perfect.
Because then you can make their meals, you can clean up, you can give yourself breakfast and snacks there. You know, that is a little bit, though, like traveling with small children. One of the things that we child-free diners don't really appreciate is when someone brings a 4 or 6 or 3-year-old kid to a restaurant and lets them just run amok in the restaurant. It's hard on the other diners, but trying to keep them seated and quiet is really hard on the parents. Sometimes you think, well, those people, it's just, why are they asking for trouble by going out to a nice restaurant with little kids who really would be better off at home having some spaghetti, you know? And I guess it's sort of like the same thing with the dogs. I mean, you obviously can't take them to a nice restaurant. So you just leave aside the idea of trying to have a civilized kind of meal in a restaurant. You make your own civilized in your own kind of environment, right?
It is very different. And I think, too, it depends on your dog and your dog's, you know, your dog's ability to be around crowds. For example, in Corpus Christi, which would be the largest town, close to Port Aransas, there's a very nice restaurant called Landry's. It's a barge, a two-story barge.
Ooh.
We've eaten there many, many times whenever we eat inside. But it is also dog-friendly. You can sit on top of the barge on the top floor.
Oh, my gosh. It's
open air. You and your dog can eat there. It's very elegant, you know.
Oh, what fun.
Not super elegant, but very nice. A great view of the skyline in Corpus Christi.
Wow.
So, you know, there are places where you can enjoy a very nice meal. But, again, it's going to be outdoors. So you're going to have to work around that weather.
Right. It's either going to be 90 or it's going to be 50 and drizzly. But when you've been there on this top floor of the barge, God, that sounds like a blast. Have you seen a number of people with dogs or just people that want the fresh air so they can smoke or something?
There are some people, not, it's not a huge thing. There are some, you know, and it's, you know, it's very friendly. I talked with him just last week in researching our Texas with Dogs book to call him and say, you know, do you still have this policy? And they do. And I think it's just so much fun if your dog is comfortable in a city situation. Now, our dogs, being country dogs, were more comfortable being in a small town situation.
Yes.
Than they would be. Corpus is not a huge city, but it's a fairly good sized city. So, you know, we stayed in the smaller town and, you know, just did small meals that way. And like I said, did a lot of meals at our cottage and did picnicking, you know.
Probably saved a lot of money, Probably saved a ton of money.
We did, you know. And, of course, you know that's one of my interests is in saving money with your dog. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day about what a great way it is to save money on a trip by traveling with your dog. You have the extra expenses. You know, we had, I think it was $30 extra to bring both dogs. And it was a one-time fee at this place for the pet fee. So that's very reasonable.
That's not bad at all.
That extra fee that we wouldn't have had if it had just been the two of us. But on the other hand, we save so much money by cooking in our room, by going on picnics with the dogs, by enjoying the state parks. And we, you know, we stopped at two state parks on the way to the coast. We went to Goliad State Park, which is really famous for the Texas Revolution. So it's a big place in Texas history, and it's a Spanish mission. You can't inside with the dogs, but the grounds are beautiful, and we got some nice pictures of the dogs with the historic mission behind them.
Nice.
It was very nice. You know, there are things you can do very inexpensively with the dogs, and I think that really puts a different focus on your trip, and you just have fun walking around with the dogs and checking things out. And you know,
people make a fuss over you for traveling with your dogs. Usually when people bump into you with dogs when you're away from home, they've left their dogs at home and they want a dog fix. Don't you find that they want to come over and pat and talk and see you with your dogs? Doesn't it make them kind of like have dog envy? Like, oh, I wish I could have my dog here.
I think that is totally true. You know, we're sitting on the beach and here comes a woman who we later found out was from Germany. And she had come into Port Aransas because they were having a huge sand sculpting festival that weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So she was there for that, which was still several days away, but they were expecting 100,000 people to come in for the sand sculpting festival, which is totally dog friendly. Bring your dog down to the beach and check out, and they'll teach you how to do sand sculpting and everything. So, and, you know, she came over to pet the dogs, and it's very nice, even though our dogs are large, you know, a lot of people still feel they're very approachable. You know, their dogs are very friendly. And it was so funny at the state parks and at the National Seashore when we stopped there. So many of the rangers would come out to meet the dogs.
No kidding.
It was so funny. We started talking with one of the rangers at Mustang Island. She has an RV that she travels in with her dog, and she's going to get a trailer and travel. And it's so, you know, people, you just wind up striking conversation with people that otherwise you might just kind of hi and bye, you know, and it's really a different kind of travel.
It allows you to really connect with other people. I mean, one of the nice things about travel, if you can figure out a way to make it happen, is to kind of connect with other humans. Where are they from? Why are they here? You know, and sometimes you make lifelong friends just somehow at the next table with someone. Oh, you want to try my chips and you really should try this drink. And you wind up sometimes making friends, and having the dogs is such an icebreaker. And you never know when you might, maybe you'll be friends forever, or maybe you'll just have a nice, you know, glass of wine with them somewhere. But it does give you a chance to sort of mingle with other people, because the dogs are the icebreaker. If you just went over and chatted with them, they think you were nuts.
That's it. You know, and so often we talk to people that travel and they don't want to be tourists. They want to be travelers.
Yes.
You know, and there's a big
yes.
thing in the travel world about that.
Yes.
And they want to meet local people when they go someplace. And I think having a dog with you is the perfect way to meet other dog people, you know, that are local
Definitely.
Residents.
Definitely.
We went to a little dog park in Rockport, which is another coastal town. And we stopped there. They had a very nice dog park, super nice. It had just been open about a year.
Really?
And, you know, we met some other dog people that live in Rockport. You know, we never would have met them if we hadn't had our dogs with us. So it was very nice. You know, you meet local people. You have a common interest from the get-go. As soon as you see
yep.
them with their dog, you know, well, we have a common interest. We have something to talk about.
And then if you have any questions about the town, like is there a – you know, where's the pharmacy that's open late at night, or is there a really great Mexican restaurant here? Then you've met somebody local who can give you the real inside scoop on stuff, which is often what you want to know in a city. Where do real people eat? Where do real people go for fun, right?
That's it. That's it. You know, where are the best places to take your dog, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there someplace I should avoid? You know, if you have problems, you know, is there – who is your vet? Who would you know?
Right.
Who would you go to? Just things that you know you have in common with these local people who know things day to day that you just are not going to get. Even I hate to say it, but you're not even going to get that from a guidebook. As much as I love guidebooks, writing
and you write them,
and I write them. You know, it's still to have a local person that you run into, and maybe they were just there earlier that week. Yeah. You know, on that beach or at that vet's office or at that, you know, that store that sells their favorite kind of pet food, you know,
right,
that
right.
that's a huge difference to have a local person there. And so
and of
I
course
think
they're probably, they probably get a kick out of meeting you. I mean, they might know about Dog Tipper. You tell them about the radio network. I mean, it's a way for people to connect after the encounter, you know, to keep on connecting because the internet connects everybody all the time. And, you know, they could be connected to Dog Tipper forever.
That's it, you know. And we have a large magnet, you know, the large stick-on magnets that go on the side of our car advertising
oh.
the radio show. So that was very
cool.
Nice. People asked us about the radio show. Where do we hear your radio
oh,
show?
Darn.
Well, you can hear it on the internet anytime on podcast. You know, even if you're not around the computer at
right.
the time our show's on, you can hear it on podcast.
I'll be darned. So those magnetic stick-ons, I used to have them for when I first wrote the dog Bible. I had one that stuck on for the dog Bible. And, you know, people would just look at you funny. But that was in East Hampton where people look at you funny anyway because they're just, you know, lots of attitude. You know, I was thinking another way that you save a fortune when you're traveling with the dogs is sort of a funny paradox. You're not paying for someone to take care of them at home.
That is so true.
You know, what is it going to cost for two large dogs? If, you know, boarding facilities, Furlocity is a company that we really like because they've checked out really nice boarding facilities that are more like pet resorts and they've interviewed them up, down, and sideways. But that's just, at the moment, a few cities and a few states. You know, there's not places that you really feel comfortable leaving your dogs. So if you had to pay for a pet sitter, it's $30 or $25 or something dollars a visit, you'd have to have them visit three times a day. If somebody sleep over, I don't know what that costs. So you're saving that every day you're away, besides not worrying about them.
That in, you know, that is a huge relief not to have to worry about them. I think that frees you up to really enjoy the vacation a lot
yep.
more, you know. And since we were writing about traveling with your dogs, it was so interesting to see the dogs' reaction to these different locations. You know, they really were our researchers, you know. We're watching them. How do they like this area? You know, we found one area had so many stickers, you know. It's like, uh-oh, we don't want them to go in this area because of all the stickers,
point.
You know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been walking barefoot. I would not have known there were stickers, you know.
Oh, what happened with the tar? You said some of those beaches have this gross tar.
They do, and we got so lucky. This was not the time for the tar. It kind of comes
Ooh,
and goes.
Nice.
You know, it's leakage that's seeping up from the floor of the sea.
Ooh.
And so, you know, it comes and it goes, and we were very lucky. I had packed my baby oil and everything, thinking I'm going to have to scrub it off the dogs.
Right.
But, you know, it was so fun. The place where we stayed had a dog bath. And, you know,
really?
That's a nice thing. It was a raised dog bath outside with special shampoos and everything. So there's
really?
A little ramp for the dog to walk up. Yes. And you could give your dog a bath there, you know,
I
when you came back.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. This is like so dog-centric, these little shady, cool huts and then a ramp into a raised dog bath with nice shampoos. I don't know. Is everybody else as amazed as I am? I've never heard of amenities like this. I mean, you know, at one point you were talking about, when we were on another show, we were talking about dog-friendly establishments, and you made a very good distinction. You said, are they dog-friendly or accepting, or are they really dog-welcoming? Do they really welcome them with open arms? So someplace that has a fabulous dog-centric dog bath outside, I would say, is a heavily welcoming place. I mean, really distinguishes itself, right?
It does, you know, and that really tells you is what their focus is, you know, that their focus is on dog people and welcoming your dog, regardless of your dog's size, regardless of your dog's breed, you know, because that is a problem. Some places your dog is a particular type of breed. Your dog is not welcome. If they're a certain size, you know, or over a certain size, they're not welcome. So this welcomed all dogs, all sizes, and that was very nice. And there were several very interesting features in the room as well. This little place is called a laughing Horse Lodge. It's just very small, kind of mom and pop place.
Makes me want to go, though. I'm dying to go. Yes. It sounds so cool. So go ahead. The amenities in the room.
Yes, fun little things. Like they had ID tags for the dogs, and it said, return me to a Laughing Horse Lodge. Had the phone number and the address. And, you know, so you put them on your dog while they're there. If,
my
you know,
God.
If they should be lost, they know where
how
the
brilliant.
Isn't
wow,
that nice?
Wow, that's really thinking ahead. That's one of those big tips that we give people. The minute you leave home, you got to have the traveling ID tag, and it can only have your cell phone. And your home address is pretty useless once you're on the road, even if you're 20 miles from home. It's really
that's
useless.
Right.
So having
nobody's
your home phone
answer.
Number. Wow, that's incredible. What foresight they had. When we come back from this break, I want to hear if there were any other dogs. I want to hear who your other four-legged other hotel guests were. I hope that there was someone else there. It would have been so fun to imagine you all at breakfast, although you each had your own cottage. We're going to go for a break. When we come back, Paris and I are going to continue talking about her amazing adventure. I can't wait to read this book. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Scientific tests show that Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month while being safe for the people in your family.
I wrote break.
Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products,
oh, well, listen,
go to RadioPetLady.com.
We don't care if you're
Precious
late for the
cat
break.
Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed
adorable.
To appeal
well,
to kitties
really
and protect
cool,
their
the
health.
Is, you know,
his renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs
live,
to entice
so
cats into
people.
The litter box.
I will mention
respiratory
that
relief litter is low dose for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Waroova Pet Foods are privately owned and made in a human food facility, so they're good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waroova, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially
gosh, yes.
those who are trying to transition away from dry foods,
too much
which Waroova chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do.
Wow.
This show is part of the Radio Pet Lady Network, the best pet radio
Don't
shows
worry about
in the
it,
world.
We're going to be
if you're enjoying this show, please check out all the other shows I co-host.
We've got
Mondays,
the,
there's Cat Crazy with veterinarian
we
co-host, followed by
their
expert vet with Dr. Donna,
going back.
Second opinions on difficult medical problems. Tuesday is Cat Chat and Dog Talk with Dr. Sean, the natural vet, followed by my long-running NPR show, Dog Talk. Wednesday is Dog Travel Experts, exploring all the ways to get out of the house with your dog. Thursday, it's A Dog's Life with trainer Greg Cleva, followed by Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney, a veterinary nutritionist with advice about feeding your dogs and cats. You can listen to any previous shows in the podcast libraries at RadioPetLady.com. Paris, we do have to say to our darling and wonderful listeners who are going to be listening mostly on podcast, I think, that we realized that we had you kind of trained that you could call in, and then we didn't have the call-in capacity. So now we are going to. So I'm sorry if we gave you whiplash and confused you, but we'd love you to feel free to call in, because the two of us just get to gabbing, and we don't want you to feel like you, oh, we don't want to be rude and interrupt, right, Paris? We just
That's
don't want
right.
to interrupt us. We're fine with that. We'd
that
love to
be
interrupted.
We would love to get their questions and hear about their travels.
Yes, and the other thing we have is a ton of questions that have come, especially to you, Paris, just general travel questions, and some of them come to me. So we'll start answering those on the air, too, if you write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com. Sometimes people are bashful to call, or, you know, they got the kids at T-ball. There's a lot of kids at T-ball, I've noticed, in the spring. Also, we have a new show that's going to be starting very soon that I just want to give you a heads up about, guys, because the month of May is National Pet Cancer Awareness Month, and we're going to be launching the new Pet Cancer Vet show. And I don't know exactly which night it's going to be, but the person who's going to be the most reliable to tell you is Paris, because more of you listen to her than on her dogtipper.com and her tweets and everything than anybody else. So keep your ears peeled, because half the dogs, if you have two dogs, I hate to say this, one of them's going to get cancer. 50% chance minimum that one of your dogs is going to get cancer. So we're going to have a fantastic veterinary oncologist who's going to help with questions, preventive things, treatments, choices, support, and advice and information. So that's something to look forward to in kind of a way. On the other hand, nobody looks forward to dealing with cancer with their pet. Paris, you've got these two wonderful mixed breed dogs. Do you feel that makes you a little safer about cancer? Because, statistically it does.
You know, a little bit, but, you know, we lost one of our previous dogs, Yoda. He was a mixed breed dog.
Right.
We lost him to cancer. So,
what
you know,
kind
it's
of cancer
all,
was it?
He had lymphoma.
That's the most common.
Mm-hmm. And underwent chemo, but he lived to 15. He had a
oh my
long,
goodness.
Good life.
He had
a very good life. So he was 15. Yeah,
that's pretty
super,
darn
super
good.
Cute.
That's pretty darn good. That's terrific.
He is.
Okay, so so the amenities in this darling Laughing Horse.
It's called Laughing Horse Lodge. And, you know, I was telling everybody about the ID tags, but also
that.
In the room, they had a list of veterinarians in the area. So that was very nice.
Oh,
a list of, isn't that, you know, because you never know, you know.
You never
anything
know.
Anything can happen. You never know. They had a whole list of pet-friendly restaurants in town.
Really?
So that was a very nice thing. Yes, patios, bars that would welcome you to bring your dog, all kinds of
so
things
like that.
So I hope
like you
that.
Kept those lists, because you could sneak those right into your own book. I mean,
I
why
did,
not?
You know, and we've called some people, the ones we didn't get to visit. We went by every place, and we weren't able to take the dogs there to all of them because of the weather. And because, too, our dogs don't like loud music, you know. So you kind of got to
– I don't either.
You know, you got to – it's just like – yeah, just like with us. You have to decide, well, this would be the kind of place I would like. This would not be the kind of place
right,
my dog would like.
Right.
But other dogs might love it, you know.
Yeah, dogs that have earplugs in. Now, what other dogs were at the Laughing Horse Lodge when you were there?
There were several other dogs. There were some Schnauzers there. There were some Pekingese there.
Really?
There was some mostly smaller dogs. I didn't see any other dogs the size of our dogs. But like I said, they were just totally welcoming to large dogs. If we could have had Great Danes, it was no problem.
That's so cool. Now, the Pekingese, was it with a full coat? I mean, they don't really give a puppy cut to a Pekingese. You either got that gigantic amount of hair or you don't. I mean, how did that dog seem to do in that heat?
They seem to be fine, although I did not see them out much in the daytime. But their people had a kayak on top of their car. So
yeah.
I don't know if they took those dogs out kayaking. You know, so I don't know.
Wow.
We never really got to talk with them very much. They kind of left for the whole day, and then they would come back in the evenings.
I'll be
so,
darned.
You know, everybody has to kind of adjust to their own, you know, their own temperament with the heat, you know.
Well, what did you, do you not feel comfortable leaving your guys in the room if you guys go out?
That's right. I don't. And this place actually had a rule that they are not to be left in the room.
Because
you know,
it's too much responsibility for the innkeeper if something should go wrong, or for destruction reasons, or why do you think?
I think more destruction reasons. And two, you know, some dogs will become upset when you leave. They're in a strange place. They may be just fine in your home when you leave.
Right.
But when you leave them in a strange place, and if they've been there a couple of days, you know, it's not home. And, you know, and there are different sounds than they're used to at home. Like, for example, one morning we started hearing this funny sound and Tiki started barking, barking, barking. It turns out it was the palm tree was blowing and the little, you know, the dried fronds, the palm fronds that drooped down on the bottom were rattling.
And it sounds like an animal trying to like scratch their way into the roof or something, right?
It did, you know, and that's not a sound she normally hears at home. We don't have a palm tree. And so that, you know, would have gotten really upset if we had been gone and she'd have been there in the room. So I think that for the sake of destruction and just for the sake of everybody having a good visit, you're not allowed to leave your dog alone in the room. And some of the places are shared duplexes. So there would be a potential to, you know, upset other people if you're, you know, in a shared duplex. Now, we had a standalone cottage, so I don't think anybody would have much heard our dogs barking inside. But in the duplex, they certainly would if you were sharing it. So,
and what are the how did the schnauzers seem to be handling all of it? Did you all like make your own little mini dog park at the Laughing Horse? Did you all like congregate kind of in some courtyard or along a stretch of land? I mean, it seems like you'd all want to meet each other in a sense.
It seemed like people were kind of coming and going a lot. We were there on property quite a bit, but then we were out researching because we had so many places, lots of site inspections we needed to do for the book, you know, so we were off property a lot, but they had a large empty lot that was mowed adjacent. I guess it was part of the property because they welcomed you to go over there and they had stands with complimentary poop bags and everything. And, you know, you were encouraged to take your dog over there. It wasn't fenced, but you could take your dog there and walk them. And our dogs really liked walking over there. But it was just another block to go on down to the beach. It was only two blocks total to the beach. So it was just very easy to walk.
This certainly makes Texas sound very, very inviting. I mean, I didn't know about all these beaches and amenities and places that welcome dogs and barges where you can eat on the upper floor. It just sounds incredible to me. What is the time of year when it would be cooler?
Well, you know, it's still not as hot as it will be. It will be hotter. So I think, you know, really from the summer months are very hot on into, I would say, even through September can be very, very hot here. It's cooler on the coast than it is further inland. Here in Austin, it's very common to have 100 degree days. I think we had 100 degree days.
Wow.
Ago. So, you know, it is more temperate on the coast, but during the winter, it's quite chilly. You know, it's not South Florida. So, you know, it can be quite cool during the winter. A lot of people come from the northern states and from Canada and stay there on the coast during the winter, and they'll stay the whole month. They'll stay four months. You know, a lot of people.
Really?
Yes.
And so for them, even though it's nippy for you, coming from northern places with 12 feet of snow, it's temperate. It's like a pleasant kind of a winter.
Yes. I mean, I think a lot of people come down for the winter. They come usually in about November, early December. Some of them were still there. I was surprised to see a lot of out-of-state plates in the RV parks, but some of them haven't quite left yet. I know some have already left because Port Aransas is a big spring break destination. So I think a lot of the winter visitors, you know, they're called winter.
Trying to get out of town before the college kids.
The spring breakers roll in, but
out. Yeah. You know, it's tremendous. I know that your book on Austin, Day Trips from Austin with a Dog, has been so popular. I'm really excited for a book about the whole state because I would bet, I'm guessing that a lot of people are as completely ignorant as I am of the variety of places and of the friendliness to dogs in a lot of these locations where other places in America, dogs aren't even allowed to set foot on a beach at all, ever.
Yes, it is very, very dog friendly. And I'm looking forward. I'm going to be in Dallas next month for the Dallas Pet Expo, and I'll be researching places up there. John and I are going to all kinds of places in Dallas that welcome dogs, which reminds me, I should be sure to tell people about the New York Pet
this
Expo.
This weekend, those of you that are on Long Island at the Nassau Coliseum, is it this Saturday and Sunday?
It's just Saturday, and
Okay.
it's in Nassau Coliseum in Uniondale, and they can go and meet Shorty Rossi from Animal Planet's Pit Boss, and have lots of fun things, lots of adoption events, agility, all kinds of things to do with your dog.
So here's how you learn where it is, you know, the directions, the hours, and all that sort of thing. You go to amazingpetexpos.com. Is that right, Paris?
That's right. That's right.
And they're a very nice special, and they're a special friend of this show, so we love them. What fun, Paris. We loved hearing about your adventures. Can't wait to hear more next week. Thank you all for listening. Great to spend time with you and armchair traveling with Paris. Have a great evening. Thanks, Paris.
Bye-bye.